Hello, everybody, and welcome to week 5 of the One League to Rule Them All podcast. I am, of course, Sean, owner of Big Al and the Dingers, joined here by, obviously, our commissioner, Ben, owner of the Tongue Punch Your Fart Box. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Living it. And we are being hosted by league member, current champion, and crystal ball holder, Tom, owner of the JC Front Hole Stingers. Tom, how are you doing? Yeah, okay, great, yeah.
Hot crowd.
Tom's got his Norm MacDonald on. All right, and then, of course, Tom's cat, Gillyweed, loving the mic, treating it like a teenage girl at a Brett Kavanaugh party, just really getting up on it. All right, thanks, Gil. yeah, consent. Doesn't matter to Gil either. So, we are going to talk about, obviously, the last week, week 4. Sorry about the no podcast. That is on me. But we're going to talk about last week's matchups. We're going to give a highlight from week 5. And, of course, do our best and worst transactions of the week. And the Window Watch 2018. I think things are moving on that front. I know I've got a new one. I've had the same one for the past 4 weeks, but just some previews, it's changing. So let's just review the standings here. In the pitchers division, we have myself, Big Al and the Dingers at 4-0, and then each team is one game behind successively as we go down here. So at 3-1 is Ethan's Suicide Wanks, 2-2 is Tom's JC Fronthole Stingers, 1-3 is Kamish Ben's Fart Boxers, and 0-4 Cozart's Boner Juice Squad. Then in the catchers division, we've got the leader at 3-1 is Clayton's Dick Sack Riders, and then all at 2-2, kind of a cluster bunch, if you will. The Corbin's Gaping Starfish, John's Mahomosexuals, Mike's Howie Felter Snatch. Hers, I suppose, and Brandon, our troop, Honey Badger, don't care, at 1-3, 2 games back in the catcher's division. So, now that we know where everybody stands, let's take a look back at last week, and Ben, I'm going to throw it to you. Where do you want to start with last week's matchups?
Well, we might as well just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and get it right out there. Pretty embarrassing last week for yours truly here, letting Brandon get on the board with his first victory of the year.
This was probably the biggest upset.
Yeah, things didn't start off well for me. Vikings defense Thursday night gave me the -9. Mm-hmm. Pretty tough to climb out of that, although I did have a chance going into the fourth quarter of the Monday night game. Kelsey and Kareem Hunt were really not performing very well at all, and I think I had like a 2-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
but then, of course, they kind of went off there, and I ended up losing by 25 points or so. So Brandon got the win last week. Alshon Jeffrey finally played and scored him some points, and that was pretty much the difference. So, yeah, that one's done.
Yeah, he just kind of persevered with that one, with a tortoise in the hair, I think, a little bit there. Or maybe just not paying attention at all. I don't know.
no one knows his strategy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
It's something.
So let's go to Ethan and John's matchup. This was a little bit of a battle of the Titans. Both these guys doing well. Ethan, former champion. John, knowledgeable about the foosball here. And Ethan actually ended up winning by 19 points. Alvin Kamara just doing work for him, putting up a 40 spot. What'd you guys see here?
Tom, you have any comment on this?
I can't even see.
Okay, well, we're saving Tom's comments for his own game. Yeah, like you mentioned, Alvin Kamara is just a beast. He's going to be doing work for Ethan all year long, even though Ingram's coming back this week. I think Alvin Kamara is still going to be consistent top 10 running back for him. Even though Drew Brees only scored him 8 points, Ethan still got the victory there. So good win by Ethan. Like you mentioned, I definitely agree with you. Kind of battle of two really, really strong teams here. And it was pretty, you know, fairly close. Less than 20 points difference there between them. So good matchup here.
This is something that you touched on when we were being hosted by John a few weeks ago. I don't think Ethan has yet to play. He's got Drew Brees and then Kirk Cousins on his bench. I don't think he has played his quarterback that has scored. I think whichever quarterback he has started has scored the fewest points, and he's still 3-1.
Yeah, he did. I mean, this time it didn't. I mean, Kirk Cousins had a great game last week, 30 points. Brees only had 8. Didn't bite him this time, but, you know, I think this is going to be a problem for Ethan all year long. He does not have a clear vision on this quarterback position. So, Ethan, you're listening. Do the right thing. Trade me Drew Brees. Let's just get it over with. Because you're not going to be able to figure this out all year long. You're just going to keep bouncing back and forth. I know it's messing with you. You're in a total mind fuck right now. You don't know what to do. You're tinker stinkering every Sunday morning just trying to figure out who to start. And you have no grasp on this quarterback spot. So do the right thing. Trade one of them away. Let's make a deal for Brees.
All right, Ben, abusing the power as co-host and color commentator here on the pod. Just really the bully pulpit from the commissioner pushing trades. So let's take a look, moving on to a matchup of our host here, Tom, who last week his team name was the Gaping Starfish Gangbangers, versus Corbin's Gaping Starfish. And true to your word, Tom, you did, along with the help of your New England Patriots and the Giovanni Bernard and Corey Davis, gangbang those Gaping Starfish.
I did. There was some buzz last week around that game as well. I know you listeners didn't hear it, but Corbin definitely had some things to say about our matchup last week. I did get to hear it. I think I was his Vendo watch last week as well, too.
Now, yeah, full disclosure, you've been my Vendo watch for the past 3 weeks. Or every single time we've had the pod, you have been my Vendo watch.
That's okay. I'm all right. I'm sitting pretty good right now. And yeah. I think last week just helped my cause even more.
Yeah, you had a really, really solid performance, especially from your pass-catching running backs. This is what I thought. I thought you had a weak team receiving core. I thought you had weak running backs. But, again, this is a PPR league. Your guys are catching the ball. I had James White last year. Loved him. And then, I mean, your receiver is still a little weak. But this Corey Davis guy, I mean, really coming through for you. And kind of week in, week out. Ben, anything to say about Corbin's lackluster week four here?
Yeah, I do have something to say. You know, we gave Corbin a platform last week to, come on the pod and really just give it to Tommy in anticipation of this matchup, and he just really shit the bed. No way to put it. Just
yeah.
Nothing. He had nothing for him. Nothing for him.
I think this is a good just kind of case study of the pitchers versus catchers division. So you had Corbin, who was pushing for the lead in the catchers division, and you had Tom, who was kind of, you know, one of the I hesitate to say doormats, but one from the bottom half of the pitchers division. And it just shows, again, the pitchers' dominance over the catchers. The top's dominance over the bottom's, the Kavanaugh's dominance over the Blasey Ford's. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. And
it's like the AFC and the NFC.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you know what that means?
I actually do.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Tom, with the substantive football comment. Yeah.
I shouldn't show my confidence. I know. I pride myself on being the taco, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you kind of are.
Can I just comment on how good our host is looking tonight?
Oh,
please. Got the house slippers, got the man robe.
Yeah.
Just a perfect shade of light blue.
Yeah, are we calling that Robin's Egg or Sky? Or?
It's classy. It's classy. Sure. You know, his boner is protruding through the robe as he's watching his Patriots right now. I think you got, what, 4 or 5 guys going in this game right now?
On one monitor, then like 6 to 8 guys going on the other monitor.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And can we also comment, you know...
Lemonparty.com. Interesting.
Yeah, when in Rome.
Tommy has done a great job of displaying the trophy as well.
Oh, my God,
It's in a glass cabinet. Very nice illumination. You know, the very, very nice display here. Quite jealous.
right next to my liquor collection.
Absolutely. No booze in it, though, right now. Not yet. Tom's got a special surprise for us later on, though. So
let's talk about last matchup here. Mine. I was 3-0.
Best for last, right?
Best for last, going up against one Balls Swagtropolis, our Tar Heel out there, Mr. Cozart. It was a unbeaten team versus a very beaten team, a nothing but beaten team, and it kind of played out the way you would expect. It was 170 to 132. If I'm not mistaken, I had the highest score of any 1 week so far this year. Again, the Bears doing work for me. My receiving core, number one in the league. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, you know, week in, week out doing it for me. I don't know what else to say. I played both Chargers running backs, and it turned out all right. 30 for Gordon, 13 for Eckler. I mean, can't ask too much from an RB2.
Yeah, that was a ballsy move. We talked about it last week. And Cozart, to his credit, I mean, Hannah played very well last week.
By far.
Her best game.
Yes.
She's going places. Cooper Kupp had a big, big game. Unfortunately, your Adam Thielen kind of wiped out some of those games because he had a pretty good game, too. So, you know, Hannah's moving in the right direction. I think her first win is going to come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think so. I think this was like the Browns tying the Steelers, where it wasn't a win, but it was showing that, okay, things might be a little different this year.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. I like that.
All right. So now that we've gotten last week's business out of the way, we mentioned that our host's team name last week was the Gaping Starfish Gangbangers, which was preceded by the Grundle Gnashers. So we've got just a lot of creativity coming from our current champion, Tom. Please walk us through the week five name, the JC Front Hole Stingers.
So yeah, last week, you know, it was an ode to my opponent, Corbin, Gaping Starfish. And I went with the same theme this week, the JC Front Hole Stingers. Sean Cozart is my opponent this week. And
less than worthy, some might say, opponent.
You know, last week he did respectable. He would have beat Ben over here, so you know, you gotta give him a little bit of credit.
I give Hannah credit, sure.
Yeah. So SC Sean Cozart, JC is a nod to his sister, Jacqueline Cozart.
Oh my god. I just got it.
Yes. I thought it was somewhat subtle.
It's brilliant.
So in high school, young Jacqueline Cozart, she was driving down a country road.
Uh-huh, what happened?
Oh, she, straight country road, somehow, she happened to hit the only tree on that road. And there just happened to be thousands of bees in this tree. So, you know, she got stung a couple hundred times. I'm assuming her front hole probably got stung a couple there. So, you know, those bees really did a number on her. So I'm thinking, you know, if I go with that name, maybe they'll do some work on Sean Cozart this week.
Sure. And that mascot you've got there really, I think, really ties that all together.
I did. This is the first time in probably 2 years I updated my my team logo.
Very muscular bee there, you know. I think he's on the Julian Edelman juice there.
He's definitely not a bottom.
No, yeah. For sure. So that's a great nod. I'm sure that Cozart is already, you know, just feeling the intimidation.
Yeah. I mean that bumblebee does some incline presses or something.
Yeah, he's gonna give it to that front hole.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay, so, and it should be noted that we are, I was a little late, and we are recording this, and it is already in the second quarter of the Thursday night game, the hometown Colts versus the Patriots, and Tom, of course, playing 4 zillion Patriots, has taken the lead over Cozart, 27-3.
Brady just had a rushing touchdown, a sneak.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
So he's got 14 points for him already.
Breeze with running touchdowns.
Yeah, James White's got some points. Doing work there.
Some of these old white quarterbacks getting rushing touchdowns. It seems so backwards. Yeah, anyway. What the fuck else are we going to talk
about? Waiver wire talk.
Trades, waiver wire.
Week 5 matchups highlight?
Sure.
All right. So while we're talking about it, it is going to be my week five matchup here, the JC Frontal Stingers against Ball Swagtropolis's Team Boner Juice. I really thought that this riding the Patriots was going to get Tom in trouble. Of course, we've noted over and over again that Tom has been my Vendo watch for the past several weeks. And while the Patriots have started off pretty slowly, what are they, 2-2? Or like 1-3?
They're 2-2.
Okay, and so I guess it's no surprise that Tom's fantasy team's record is mirroring exactly the Patriots' record. Really here, you've got unaging Tom Brady, and then quite possibly the dumbest offensive player in the league. Unless I miss...
The Duke and Fox, though.
Yeah, Gronk Fox. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, every time he catches the ball, every time he stiff arms, every time he does the Gronk spike,
it's just...
It might as well just be that white sheet with giant Sharpie written on it out of that frat house that says, "You cuck, we fuck." And I just imagine, like, Gronk scoring a touchdown and then wearing that as a cape, like an Olympic runner wearing, like Usain Bolt wearing the Jamaican flag around the stadium. Just Gronk, "You cuck, we fuck." And honestly... he just goes. I don't know what his Wonderlic score was, so I don't know actually how dumb he is. I do know that Frank Gore was a 6, which is like illiterate.
Future
Hall of Famer Frank Gore.
Not surprising though. I thought the Wonderlic was only for quarterbacks. Are you sure that tight ends take the Wonderlic?
Every NFL.
No, swear to God. Okay. Yeah. Because offensive linemen and quarterbacks score the highest, and then defense scores the lowest.
Well, yeah, because they're smashing their head against the wall.
No. It makes sense for sure. And apparently, zone blocking is super. It takes a little bit of quick thinking or something. I don't know. But apparently, Gronk, smart enough to make it in the league. Frank Gore, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Whatever. So, 4 yards and a cloud of dust for him. Congratulations. But yeah, that's my matchup for the week. I think Tom's going to take this one over Hannah. Narrowly, but still going to take it. If for no other reason than this fucking banging team name. Keep it up, Tom. Thanks for the... week in, week out, delivering for us on that front.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, so Tom, do you have a week five highlight matchup for us?
Let's see here. I was actually looking at... I'm not really sure how it's going to pan out. I'm looking at Dick Sackriers versus Suicide Wing. I'm really excited. I'm excited for their matchup here. I'm going to go with Ethan, though.
Okay, Suicide Wank. The prediction is the Suicide Wank over Dick Sackriers. 2-3-1 teams.
Yes, exactly. I like Tate, I like Breeze, and I like Kamara. So,
Do you think, Tommy, that Ethan's going to stick with Breeze, though? Or do you think he's going to tinker stinker between now and Sunday and switch out for...
It hasn't done him any good, so I think he's going to wise up and not do that.
So you have faith in Ethan's wisdom, is what you're saying.
Shockingly, yes.
Wow. Hot take here. Hot take on the podcast.
I like it. You know, Clayton leading the catcher's league.
It's not that hard to do.
Yeah. He's the tallest midget. Yeah, he's the best athlete over there at St. Mary's for the deaf, dumb, and blind. So,
notice Clayton here putting Aaron Rodgers on the bench.
Who?
For Matt Ryan. Bold strategy. I know Aaron Rodgers hasn't really lived up to expectations yet this year, but he's going up against Detroit in a dome. You think that it'd be a pretty high-scoring game there.
I imagine Atlanta-Pittsburgh will as well.
That's a tough call. I know that Rodgers was drafted pretty high for Clayton there. So, but also, being a Bears fan, I'm sure he kind of enjoys having Rodgers on his bench, but... Maybe something we could get some trade action going.
Yeah, you think he's starting to play with his heart rather than his head?
I think so. I might try to acquire Rodgers this week. Clayton, you might be hearing from me. Maybe a little Rodgers for, Corey Clement or something like that.
Yeah. That sounds like a typical Ben trade. All right, so thank you for that highlight matchup, Tom. Now, Ben, throwing it to you, what are you looking at? What excites you? What tickles your sphincter here for week five?
Yeah, I'll take the other pretty decent matchup here, which is going to be Corbin versus Michael, the gaping starfish versus how we felt her snatch.
Corbin, this is by the way, this is the matchup of the two teams, unless I miss my mark, named after vaginas.
Correct. Although no, Starfish is actually the backhole, I believe.
Okay.
Could be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure we got a classic backhole fronthole matchup here this week. Obviously, Corbin looking to bounce back after a very, very disappointing loss to Tommy. Last week, he's got Cam Newton coming back from a bye, got Joe Mixon coming back from an injury. I think Julio and Odell Beckham, neither of them have scored a touchdown yet this year.
Mm.
That's got to change. And then you look over at Michael. You know, he's got the Ben Roethlisberger along with the James Conner, who has kind of faded a little bit. You know, he came out pretty strong the first couple weeks. He's faded. Le'Veon Bell rumors a swirling.
Yeah.
So while these are two and two teams, I think that Corbin's actually going to bounce back pretty strong this week and get the victory over Howie.
Yeah, I think it is gonna. It's only a matter of time for Julio and Odell to break out. That's a pretty good receiving twosome. Not top three, but pretty good. What I'm looking at here is that Corbin voiced some concern in the chat that he had several players who were questionable this week. They received a questionable injury rating. So he mentioned in the chat that he was worried about having so many players who are questionable. I think most of his team is questionable, as in, I'm not really sure I would start these losers.
Oh, I thought you meant like questionable as in like sexual orientation questionable.
I worry about the owner in that respect of that team. I don't think I'm the only one in our league, but I guess he's
questionable is a good term for him.
But last week we did figure out that dick was kosher. So, a callback to last week's episode that did not get aired. All right, I am doing my best. Tom, are you seeing?
I was just going to say, I finally found it. Rob Gronkowski, Wonderlic score.
Hit us with it.
32.
Holy shit.
It's impressive.
Tom Brady's?
33. Wow. Oh, man.
He's allegedly the league's smartest tight end.
I was going to say, because that's pretty high. I know quarterbacks and offensive linemen, generally get in the 30s.
Just for reference, I've scored a 38.
Did you just take it now?
No, I took it for a job application a couple years ago.
Oh.
The Wonderlic?
Yeah.
Were you auditioning for Colts quarterback?
No.
Yeah, auditioning.
Interviewing.
There's a lot of manufacturing companies around here that actually use it as a employment qualifier.
Yeah, like if you score in the single digits, it's pretty much guaranteed that you're going to chop your arm off in a freaking buzzsaw.
You will push a button on an assembly line.
That's awesome.
How about that?
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that was breaking news. I don't think anyone would have guessed that Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady's Wonderlic scores were 1 point apart.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ruminate on that.
Gronk smash.
Yeah, Gronk smash. There is some, maybe he's calculated like the launch angle of the Gronk spike. I don't know. There's something going on there. And more than meets the eye, that makes me more look forward to his post-NFL career. I'll just say that much. Guys, we've done the matchups here. Let's get into the transactions of the past week. What did we see from the league activity page? I know there were no trades again this week, but there were lots of drops and ads here. What did you guys like? What did you dislike? Whose sanity are you worried about?
You know, I don't pay attention at all, except to myself on here. And even then, typically I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud of my my waiver wire of Jared Goff. Really happy about that. I'm excited to, if the Patriots weren't playing the Colts this week, I would have played him.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Next week, definitely, I'll be more than likely playing Goff. I hate to do that to Brady, but
also a good bye week fill-in for you there, too.
Exactly.
Brady goes on the bye, as Brady just missed a deep pass to James White.
Position rank 3, I'm happy with that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think everyone in the league was going for that, and Tommy probably got to first because of...
I don't know how, but I did.
Waiver wire order, because you're
Yeah, it's inverse lowest, of the standings.
Lowest points.
Oh, really?
What have you there? So, yeah, that was a good move. Obviously, he went off last week, so a lot of people were looking to pick him up. Kind of looking through it here, nothing. You know, okay. Here's one that I kind of like. P. Enos, Clayton, I believe.
Yeah.
Picking up Matt Breda, dropping Mike Davis. Why he had Mike Davis on his roster, I don't even know. But I think Matt Breda is probably going to get some work because San Francisco's offense without Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be very dynamic throwing the ball. And if they do throw it, I think it's going to be a lot of dink and dunk drop off. So I think Matt Breda is a good pickup there for Clayton. Can't have enough running back depth in this league.
Yeah. Now, what I liked, and what I'm not sure how many guys went for this, but I certainly did, and I got preempted on the waiver there, was by you, Kamish. You dropped Corey Clement and picked up Nyheim Hines, hometown hero, rookie Indiana running back.
He's the pass catcher. As we speak.
Yeah.
3 points so far. Need a little more, but...
Yeah, he's kind of a second-half guy.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it earlier. We expect the Colts to be down and probably having to throw a lot in the second half, so we're just hoping for maybe a Saquon Barkley-type game, you know, 14 catches for 50 yards or whatever. Maybe he finds the end zone again. He got in twice last week, so...
All right. That wraps up the transaction talk. Now, we have yet to hear from anyone on the trophy talk of naming the trophy. Some really good names were thrown out, mostly by Ben. The apparatus for a shorthand kind of ode to Uncle Milty there, naming our winner's trophy. Of course, our loser's trophy has a perfect name already, Vendo. An ode to Homo Vendo. And by the way, did you guys see in the news, I think it was this past week, it might have been last week, the
DUI? Drug bust? DUI?
No. Okay. It's a little more of a tangential connection here. But Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, said he had an I Am Spartacus moment.
Wait, was he the guy from the Kavanaugh hearing?
Yes. Gotcha. So he said that he had an I Am Spartacus moment, by which he meant, I mean, he's an idiot, but the I Am Spartacus is when they all stood up one by one, the slaves, and said, I Am Spartacus, because they didn't want their leader to be punished. Do you guys remember the Homo Vindo in...
locker room.
Yeah.
When Uncle Randy came in, he had the printouts. I'm pretty sure he had them all printed out. And one by one, we stood up. I Am Homo Vindo.
I Am Homo Vindo. You know, we protect our own, goddammit. Especially when it's such a good idea as that.
God, I hope none of us are ever going to run for, Supreme Court or anything like that.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see some pretty good judicial decisions. Just maybe not so many good personal decisions.
I don't think any of us have done a devil's triangle or boofing, though, so...
Yeah, and if you have, come forward in the chat. Picks or it didn't happen. We need proof. Corbin, no lies. All right.
So names for the trophy? Is that what we're doing?
Well, we did that as a bit a few weeks ago, but we want to see some.
Why I have one right now.
Oh, lay it on us, yeah. Please.
The magical hobo.
Yeah, that was touched on.
Was it? Okay.
The magical hobo's soup bowl soup bowl.
I do like that.
Something related to the magical hobo should definitely be considered.
We literally sang an ode to him and saluted him
on
a daily basis
by peeing in his soup.
You know what? I wouldn't be against. Name, because it is a detachable from the base. I wouldn't be against naming the base something like the apparatus, and then having the actual ball be the bowl or the cup.
Ball.
Yeah, yeah, something to do with that.
Steaming hot take I just thought of. There's only one solution to this. We need more trophies. You know, we could have the winner's trophy be the apparatus or whatever. Then obviously the loser's trophy would be the Vendo. But then we should have more trophies for, you know.
Should we do rings as well?
Rings? Yeah, I mean, I'm talking.
But, you know, obviously cock rings.
Oh.
Oh, vibrating and all. Yeah, sure.
Piercing. Yeah. Piercings, right.
You know, not every year, though. They just, you know, trade.
Oh, I thought, like.
To each other.
You can take it out,
We're not made of money here.
That's right. Yeah, we just, you know, kind of dip it in some vodka or whatever, sterilize it, you know, pass
it
on.
It has to be. It has to be. It could be like the pocket pussy from, what was the show? Blue Mountain State? Do you ever watch that?
No, I did not.
Oh, you need to watch that.
Really?
So on draft weekend.
Yeah, you just.
We change rings on draft weekend.
Okay. You know what? I didn't think it could happen, but there's just another more ideas of how to bring us closer as a group. So
Vendo Watch
2018. Yeah, let's wrap this baby up. This is everyone's favorite segment of where we talk about who the shittiest teams are, who's trending badly. Okay. I think the obvious one here is 0-4 Boner Juice, but I think that's too obvious at this point. Hannah, as we said, is trending upwards. That's a good, solid team there. I like what's going on. I've said that I'm changing mine. I teased that at the top of the episode. And I am going to come forward now with a bit of a hot take, and I am going to say that this is – I'm going to go with someone from the catcher's division. I'm going to go with Mike's Howie Felter Snatchers. This is a team that is currently 2-2. If it drops this game to the Gaping Starfish, Corbin's Gaping Starfish, 2-3, there's not a lot of offense here. If Le'Veon Bell comes back for the Steelers, he's lost his RB2. These wide receivers aren't the greatest. Robert Woods and Kenny Stills with Jameson Crowder as the flex. Leonard Fournette has that hamstring thing. T.Y. Hilton has the hamstring thing. Chris Hogan never got going. This is not a great team fundamentally. He's played it well in that he's come out 2-2, but scored under 100 points a couple times, and I'm just I'm putting him on the Vendo Watch.
I was actually going to put Mike on the Vendo Watch as well. I thought you were going to put me on there.
Never.
So I appreciate that. And real quick, I would just like to let everyone in the podcast know that Sean and I have been at the negotiating tables for a solid 2 days. Working hard.
Oh God, it's felt just, like longer.
It's been a tough. I understand why the agents make the big bucks.
Sure.
You know, the GMs make the big bucks. We've been hard at it here.
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth. We haven't gotten a deal done yet, but I think there's a blockbuster deal in the near future. Tonight, it's going to happen. A few more beers, and it's going to happen for Sean. But yeah, I.
Oh God, I'm going to get trade raped.
So, Mike has definitely been struggling. I think Ben Roethlisberger, as the weather gets colder, the points are going to go down. You know, Pittsburgh's not an easy place to play.
I've heard Belmont's runners get better as the weather gets colder as well.
Yeah, actually, I think when Jupiter and Venus are aligned, Northside actually does pretty well, too.
Legends.
Yeah, but yeah, Mike doesn't really have much here. I mean, like you mentioned, Chris Hogan, trash. Sammy Watkins, hurt. T.Y. Hilton, hurt. Leonard Fournette, hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson, the Bears offense might be going in the right direction, but I don't really like much of anything that Mike has going on right now, and I think he's in a lot of trouble.
Tom, who is on the Vendo Watch for you?
You know, it's obviously Sean Cozart, but I'm not going to say that.
Okay, yeah.
Appreciate
it.
Next, I'd have to say it's got to be Honey Badgers Don't Care. When you look at points for, points against, he's next in line. And, you know, obviously, I just don't think he cares. So
what makes you think that, Tom?
I just have a feeling. I don't think any of us have heard from him in a couple years right now. So.
Well, he's a troop. You know, it's kind of hard to get messages out of the trenches. You know, the Germans.
He's in Indianapolis right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, teacher. The trenches of Meridian Street, you know, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, allegedly.
You don't want to be caught on the south side, I'm pretty sure. So,
I think it's the east side that you don't want to get caught on. That's St. Louis.
That's definitely St. Louis.
No, I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's every city. Austin, east side.
Fort Wayne, it is definitely the east side of Fort Wayne.
Uniondale, Markle, you don't want to be on the east side.
Zanesville.
Oh, God, don't get me started.
So, yeah, I mean, there has been some question of whether or not Brandon is eligible for the Vendo, but I think that's an ongoing conversation and one worth having, as is every conversation in the chat worth having. So, guys, keep on contributing. We love all... I'm kind of drunk contributing.
Just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, that's right.
Life's
yeah.
a garden, dig it, you know?
Right, yeah.
That's just like your opinion, man.
That's a good place to end. Thanks to Tom and Ben for this week's podcast, and we'll see you on the chat, guys.